Good morning. It is 10:04 a.m. We are here today, July 29, 2020, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPA-PA 19011 and 20003, Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez, Tears of Bagana, the Roku. Will appellant Basil please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, this is Jerry Diaz, and I'm here representing Basil Foods Industrial Services. I have two representatives from Basil who are running a little bit late, and I'll introduce them as soon as they walk into my office.
Okay, thank you. Will purchasing agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. This is Sandra Cruz Miller from the Office of the Attorney General. Present with me here is Robert Kono from General Services Agency.
Thank you. Will interested party SH Enterprises please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Vanessa Williams on behalf of SH Enterprises, and no institutional representatives are present today.
Thank you. We may proceed.
I'm still a little concerned that Ms. Diaz, can we just hear you again? Can you just speak?
Sure. This is Jerry Diaz from Basil. Maybe I can introduce the two representatives that will be appearing. You'll probably see them walk through the door. It's going to be Michael Zhu, who's the president of SH Enterprises, and I also have James Zhang, who's the vice president, of Basil Industrial Foods. I apologize for that error.
Okay, maybe you should stop playing with the remote, whatever it is that we're doing with the remote, because we hear you perfectly now.
It's and don't the volume.
Okay. Well, thank you. I know this hearing has been a long time coming. This motion for summary judgment was filed back in February, and unfortunately we couldn't get it scheduled, but let's hear it today.
Actually, sir, the motion for there are two motions for summary judgment, and one of them is already heard. And I would ask SH to maybe explain it, because that was SH's motion. Today we are. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Public Auditor. The SH's motion for summary judgment was heard. Actually, I don't recall the date, but it was at our, we did have it heard, briefed, and heard at their last hearing, and we were advised it was taken under advisement. So my understanding is we were only going forward on the government's motion for summary judgment today.
Yes, so today we are here on the government and GSA's motion for summary judgment, which we filed on June 10, 2020. And this is a motion, so this case involves two appeals that have been consolidated. The first one is OPA-PA 19011. The motion for summary judgment on 19011 has already been heard and is under advisement, as Ms. Williams said. So today, the focus of today's motion is OPA-PA 20-003, which involves the second protest appeal filed by Basil, and they filed that also in early, I'm going to say maybe late January, early February. And I'm going to call that one, just to be clear, the Hakobotan Building a protest versus the elderly congregate meals protest. So on the Hakobotan protest, which is what we're here today, everything is already, I think I've briefed most of the issues there, but essentially in late January, as the public auditor will recall, and it was all over the media, the governor established at the Hakobotan building the War Claims Processing Office. It was a temporary office that was there for 2 weeks, and the Hakobotan building just happens to be owned by SH Enterprises, which is also the vendor involved in the Public Health Senior Congregate Meals, and that's 19011. So the basis of the Hakobotan protest is an ethical violation. Basel has filed this protest alleging that it was unethical for SH to donate the Hakobotan building for Governor Lulian Guerrero's use of the War Claims building because of the underlying pending protest in 19011, that being the elderly congregate meals. Guam, the GSA has filed a motion for summary judgment as a matter of law, strictly right now on the Hakobotan building. And the basis is really that GSA is not the purchasing agency. The Hakobotan building was solicited by the governor for use as the War Claims building, and GSA was not involved in the procurement. This is a procurement protest. In order to have a procurement protest, there had to have been a procurement, and it was not done by GSA. Protests need to be filed with the purchasing agency. GSA is not the purchasing agency. The governor's office is the purchasing agency. Basel is trying to connect the two because SH is the vendor in the elderly congregate meals. But that's not the law. The law is that you file your protest with your purchasing agency, and that purchasing agency was not GSA. That I have briefed and put the cases in my papers. The second point that GSA would like to make is that even if it was the purchasing agency, which it is not, the governor can accept donations of property. The governor solicited the Hakobotan building from SH, and she did that pursuant to her authority under 5 GCA 5630 subsection C. And that particular section says that the governor can accept donations. Nothing anywhere can be interpreted to prevent her from doing otherwise. And it's an extension, really, of her Organic Act authority. And the Guam legislature, even if they had put in that, oh, you can't donate during a pending protest, which is what Basel is arguing, that, it's Organic Act authority, and it really cannot be contravened. So they have the wrong agency, and even if they didn't, the governor can accept donations because that's what she does. The other thing, which I failed to say this in my moving papers, but I can bring a separate motion otherwise the public auditor can take judicial notice, or you can sua sponte recognize it and convert this motion. But I brought it up briefly in my reply, which is that this is even the wrong forum. Not only is it the wrong agency, it's the wrong forum, because an ethical procurement protest is not a protest concerning the method of source selection, the underlying contract, or anything having to do with the procurement. And the procurement, let's not lose track, is the elderly congregate meals contract. That is the real procurement, and that was a procurement done in September of 2019. Because jurisdiction of the public auditor can be raised at any time, jurisdiction is always relevant. The ethical violations have their own statute, and although they are embedded within the procurement law, They specifically say that there's a difference between employee employee ethical violations and non-employee ethical violations. And employee ethical violations, which is what is alleged in this motion, and is that you have to file with the Civil Service Commission. So if Basil has an issue, they need to go there and not to the public auditor, because this is not a procurement protest. It is an ethical violation of a procurement protest, and they're not the same thing. They don't involve the actual underlying contract. And that's really the gist of our motion. You have wrong agency, you have the wrong forum. The governor has authority to do what she did, and nothing in Guam law can contravene that. And if there's anything specific that the public auditor wants to discuss, I'm happy to do that. Thank you.
And before we move on and have any responses, maybe at the risk of, I don't want to insult anybody, but maybe if we could just mute everybody else except the one person speaking, because the whatever noises you're making in your office is making the sound thing move from place to place. Did we lose Jerry?
Can you hear me? I'm here. Can you hear me?
We didn't lose Jerry. Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear Jerry, but oh, there you are.
You can hear me. Okay, thank you.
All right. Something was in your office was reverberating, and you kept it. The sound thing kept going to you. So if we can just get all, and you can even mute me until I decide to speak again. Just let's just have one person on so that the echo doesn't keep moving.
Okay.
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 So, Ms. Diaz, do you wish to respond?
Yes, I do, Mr. Cruz. And if you can all hear me, I'll proceed forward. No, and if you can't hear me, perhaps wave. I can see somebody waving as opposed to hearing because there's a slight delay. Okay, and I'll proceed forward. So based on what we've uncovered in our investigation as to how the government came to utilize the Hakaputan building, we found that there's no official written or publicized solicitation by the government. What we did find based on a FOIA request to the government is that there was a letter from Mr. Tai Min, who's a president of SH Enterprises, where he indicated that he was going to donate not only the building, but utilities and the parking spaces for use as a water claims processing center. And what's surprising in both the purchasing agency, and by purchasing agency I mean GSA, what's surprising in GSA's arguments, not only in its briefs, but its oral arguments this morning, is that they believe we're protesting the use of the Hakaputan building, or how the government came to use the Hakaputan building. That's not the basis of our protests. The basis of our protests is GSA 5619, which was awarded to SH Enterprises, wherein they're supposed to provide meals to the Mananku. If you review the specific terms and conditions of that contract, there are indications that you are not supposed to violate any of the ethical rules. There should be no gratuities, kickbacks, or favors given to the government as part of that contract, as part of the Guam procurement laws. And when they made the donation of the Hakaputan building, they essentially violated the terms of that contract. Since we have a violation of the terms of that contract, that is exactly what we are protesting today. And GSA knows this. If you review their motion for summary judgment dated July 8th of this year, and just for clarification purposes, we have two motions for summary judgment from the purchasing agency. We have one dated June 10th of this year, and another dated July 8th of this year. And perhaps the second one should have been termed a reply to Basil's opposition, but I'll just refer to it as her second motion for summary judgment. If you go to page 6 of that second motion, they specifically state, in a motion for summary judgment such as this, the hearing officer's review is limited to the four corners of the complaint and to the contract complained about, which is the elderly congregate meal contract arising from bid number GSA 5619. So they get it. They know that this is a contract that we are protesting because of the ethical violations that we are alleging against SH Enterprises. For GSA 5619, GSA was a purchasing agency. They're the ones who issued the IFB. They awarded it to SH Enterprises. We filed our protest in February of this year, and Ms. Alfonji of GSA, they denied the protest, and that is the basis for today's appeal. As we indicated in our procurement appeal, because there are certain terms and conditions which prohibit kickbacks or gratuities or favors to the government, because there's a specific term regarding that scenario, and then we have the donation of the Hakubotan building, there is a breach of the terms of the contract. There's a violation of the ethical conditions that have been prohibited by the terms of that contract. And that is why we are protesting, or we filed our protest against GSA, who is the purchasing agency, the correct purchasing agency in this case. And I wanted to divert your attention to a number of rules that allow us to go to the purchasing agency. You have 2 GAR Division 4, Section 9101, which states that complainants should seek resolution of their complaints with the procurement office or the office that issued the solicitation. In this case, it's GSA. You have 5 GCA 5425, which states that an actual or prospective bidder who may be aggrieved in connection with the method of source selection, solicitation, or award of a contract, and in this case, it's the award of a contract, may protest to either the chief procurement officer or the head of the purchasing agency, and in this case, again, it's GSA. And we also have 5 GCA 5427, which says that the chief procurement officer or the head of the purchasing agency has the authority to settle or resolve controversies based on breach of contract. And that's exactly our scenario in this case, is the breach of the terms and conditions of the contract. So based on these arguments, I want to make clear to this office that we're protesting the violation of the terms and conditions of GSA 5619. Now, with regard to the arguments that the governor is authorized to accept donations, we don't dispute that. There is a statute that does allow the governor to accept donations of money and property from the public. But I don't think that that's an end-all, be-all rule that allows individuals in the public to violate other terms and conditions or violate other terms under the guise of, well, it's gonna be okay because the governor is authorized to accept donations. Like, we have specific procurement rules and regulations, and they were developed to ensure that there's fairness in the procurement system, to promote equality amongst all of those who are participating in this process, to foster competition, safeguard the quality and integrity of the process, and to also increase the public confidence in the procurement system. And so if you have a scenario where there's a specific requirement not to do something, but then you go and do something under the guise of, well, it's okay because the government can accept it, I think there's a violation or there's a mismatch there, because that's not the intent of the rules. I think you need to look at the rules side by side and compare one against the other. And based on my comparison, I don't believe that the law that allows the governor to accept donations trumps everything else. It doesn't nullify the violation of the terms of GSA 5619. I did have the opportunity to review the second motion for summary judgment issued by GSA, and I wanted to address a few arguments made in that brief because I didn't have the opportunity to do so. So I'm going to be referring to the July 8th motion for summary judgment. On page 3 They indicate that, they state that the alleged ethical violations over the Hakubotan building cannot be mixed up and confused with the procurement for DPHSS elderly congregate meals. Although the two appeals were consolidated herein for purposes of efficiency, there are two completely different cases with different elements, different standards of proof, and different procuring agencies. So it sounds like, again, they believe that we're protesting the donation of the Hakubotan building, and I just want to stress again that that's not the basis for our protest. It's a violation of the terms and conditions of GSA 5619. Also, I wanted to direct your attention to page 4, the second full paragraph. GSA states, under the procurement law, if Basil Food believes it was unethical for the governor to solicit or accept a donation of a property from SH Enterprises during the term of the congregate meals contract, then its remedy was to direct its complaint to the Civil Service Commission. Again, we're not protesting the donation of the building, we're protesting the violation of the terms of GSA 5619. And lastly, on page 5, they state the donation statute of 5 GCA 22480 makes it clear that nothing herein shall be construed to prevent the governor on behalf of the government of Guam from accepting donations of property from any individual or organization. This law means what it says. Nothing elsewhere in Guam law, including the procurement law, shall be construed to prevent her from doing otherwise. Again, the law allowing the governor to accept donations does not give her absolute power that all other rules and regulations are overridden. And if you review our pleadings as well as the statements and arguments made by Basil this morning, we respectfully request that you deny the purchasing agency's motion to motion for summary judgment.
Thank you. Ms. Williams, did you wish to be heard on this?
Yes, briefly.
Please.
Thank you. The GSA and Basil have kind of glossed over the jurisdictional issue, and I just want to highlight that to the public auditor. And I think Basil just made very clear that the basis of their protest is the terms and conditions of a contract that's being performed. And this really just highlights their lack of jurisdiction and the that this is not a protest that's properly submitted or before the public auditor. 5 GCA 5425 says that any actual or prospective bidder, offeror, or contractor who may be aggrieved in connection with the method of source selection, solicitation, or award of a contract may protest. They have repeatedly and emphasized today that they are not protesting a method of source selection, solicitation, or award. They're protesting essentially or raising an issue of a breach of contract under whichever law. It's irrelevant because that doesn't give them the right to protest under the procurement law, and that doesn't put this matter properly before the public auditor because jurisdiction is always at issue, and the court or the public auditor may consider this at any time and should consider this before addressing their merits. We'd ask that the summary judgment be granted or this protest be appealed, be dismissed, because the public auditor simply doesn't have jurisdiction. There's no jurisdiction over a breach of contract allegation by the someone who's not a party to the contract, and it definitely wouldn't be before the public auditor. Thank you.
Ms. Diaz, do you wish to respond to that? Please get Ms. Diaz on.
Yes, I'm unmuting her. It's not working.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I on? Can you? Yes. This is the first time I'm hearing a jurisdictional argument being raised. And I would like the opportunity to briefly review that argument and the code and provide a response to your office regarding addressing that issue.
All right, because the jurisdiction issue is the one that's paramount. So yes, you will. How much time will you need?
May I have a week, please?
All right. Miss Cruz, I mean, it's Miller. Do you wish to respond?
Yes, I do. So, just replying to Basil's arguments, a great emphasis was made that they are protesting the violation of the underlying contract, which is the congregate meals contract. And why do they think there is a violation? Because there is a form there, this I don't accept favors or gratuities form, I don't give favors. And they say that breached. So what Basil has said is they're protesting the violation of the terms and conditions of the underlying contract, but they're not protesting the donation itself. Well, the donation is the violation, supposedly. If there was no donation, then there would be no alleged violation. So it is inconsistent to say that we are protesting the violation of the contract and not the donation, when the donation is what gives rise to the purported violation. So that doesn't make sense. And I would ask the public auditor to, carefully look at that, because the donation, if there was a donation and if the donation gave rise to a violation, it is excused in this case because the agency that procured the Hakobotan building was the Office of the Governor. And that's no ordinary office. It's not like DPW. Perhaps if DPW or GMH or another government agency had procured the Hakobotan building, perhaps maybe there might be a violation. That's something that will, but that's not what happened here. It was the Office of the Governor, and she has a specific statute that allows her to accept these things and not violation. So the governor's office is, she does have that power, and that power cannot be taken away from her or otherwise contravened, because it's organic tax power. To say that the governor cannot accept donations from agencies that already have pending procurements, well, that could be just about any, from vendors that have procurements or contracts with the government, that could just really be all over Guam. And that would tie her hands, and we would submit that would violate the organic tax and not just the statute.
The donation authority of the governor is not in the organic tax.
No, it's not, but it's an extension of her authority to be the chief executive officer and to manage the agencies. So if and by managing...
But even with the history of the procurement law is clear that initially the procurement law was vested in the governor's office. Subsequent to that, the procurement office authority was taken away from the procurement office and was given to GSA. In the words of John Thomas Brown, the governor's office no longer has a badge to do any procuring. All the procuring by the governor's office has to be done by GSA. Any leases for any offices for the governor's office has to be done by GSA.
Well, this is not really a procurement, because there is a statute that when you want to lease office space, and I cited it in my reply brief, that as long as the cost is less, this is a statute that if it is less than $10,000, and Hakobotan was free, so that's less than $10,000, then it doesn't become a procurement. So we're even outside procurement law procurement law doesn't apply. And that is 5 GCA 22704 subsection C. Authorizes the governor to, and it says the governor, that statute says the governor, to lease office space, which the Warclaims office was office space, without procurement, if it is $10,000 or less than 5 years. So we would submit that this doesn't even fall within procurement. So that is on, that's in my brief on pages, I guess, five to six. It's just a real brief statute. And you know what, that statute, a lot of people don't know about that because it's not even in the procurement law. It's hidden in like the administrative fiscal control policy of the government. In any case, sir.
And the what's the fair market value of the lease?
I don't know. I would have no idea what that is.
But wouldn't the $5,000 be dependent on the fair market value?
I don't think that's what it says. It says the rental cost is less than $10,000.
Well, $10,000. The rental cost would it be less than $10,000? What's the fair market value for that space?
For 2 weeks at the Hakubotam building, we would have to ask Basil. That's not something GSA wouldn't know because it wasn't involved. But I think the statute is read, what did you actually pay versus what is the value of what you receive? That the statute says if the rental cost, and the cost here was zero, and it was less than 5 years, it was only 2 weeks. So 2 weeks for no cost. In any case, it still doesn't address the jurisdictional issue. So ethical procurements have their own statute, which is what this protest was brought under. And the statute there, and it's, you know, I really should have read that myself a little closer early on, but it says that you're supposed to file with the Civil Service Commission, not with the public auditor. And we can get into that in the briefing over jurisdiction. But just to sum up, Basil is protesting the violation, the purported alleged violation of the contract. But that violation is the donation, which it says it's not protesting. And that's just an inconsistent statement. And to the extent there was a donation, it came from the governor. The governor had the authority to do that, both under her own donation statute and under the office lease for less than $10,000, which I say the $10,000 statute completely takes this out of procurement because it's not a procurement.
That and your earlier argument that precluding the governor from exercising her authority to receive donations from any agency, do you see any problem when there is currently a procurement appeal involving the government? The government to be accepting? I can see if there's no procurement appeal pending, and the governor accepts a donation, that it wouldn't look bad. But a gut smell problem in the middle of a procurement appeal, your olfactory nerves have no problem with that?
Well, it had it, like I said, had it been another agency, I said DPW, GMH, Port Authority, you name it, then perhaps, and that's something, you know, that's not, it's sort of off the chart here, but perhaps. And so our argument has been that the governor is the exception to that for the two reasons.
No, but one issue thing is that the number of procurement appeals that we get filed are maybe at most six a year involving six different agencies. You don't, while that procurement appeal is pending, you don't have any problems with the governor accepting a donation from the appellants or even the party of in interest during that procurement appeal?
Not if it's the governor. Had it been, again, another agency. Now, if you look at the exhibits that were filed, the governor is the one who went to SH and solicited from them, probably because of the location of the building. It's a good site for an office. And GovGuam has had, and still does, I think, have a couple offices in that building. I think fire was there. For a while, civil service was there too. So they're familiar with the building, and they must have thought, hey, you know, this is a good place, got a lot of parking. And they scoped it out, and they approached, they being the office of the governor, approached SH. GSA was not involved. And again, we're GSA. We didn't even know about this until it was read about in the paper, just like everybody else. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. We'll take the matter under advisement because Ms. Diaz is going to be filing a jurisdictional issue. And then after she files by next Wednesday, I'll give until the following Wednesday for party in interest and the government to respond. Okay.
Does it mean that you're going to be vacating the current scheduled hearing on August 10th?
I don't think the hearing is, when's this hearing scheduled?
August 10th.
No, we'll be done by the 10th.
Because you said you're going to give till next week, Wednesday, for...
If I may.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ms. Diaz. Ms. Diaz, go ahead.
Oh, it's just along the lines of... it's along the lines of Mr. Hernandez's comment. We have our witness list issues. A number of documents due this Friday. Is there a possibility to push it to next Friday or a later date?
No, all the rest of it continues. This is just the one issue that stays.
Okay, thank you.
As a suggestion, I think we have a trial brief. We have a brief hearing brief due. I don't have the date in front of me, but I was going to suggest maybe incorporating it into there, but then we wouldn't have a chance to reply, so it's okay.
Jarek, aren't we still going to be in procurement training? Isn't that 2 weeks?
The PIPA?
Yes.
Yes, it is 2 weeks in the morning.
So to answer Ms. Miller's inquiry about when the deadline for hearing briefs is actually next week, Friday on the 7th.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm a little confused. I'm not sure if I misunderstood, but Basil's going to have until the 5th to submit supplemental briefing regarding jurisdiction, and then government and SH will have until the 12th to respond.
I may need to shorten that.
Right, okay.
Ms. Diaz, get something in by Monday.
Yes, sir.
And the government and everybody else by Friday the 7th. A response.
And may we also expect a decision on our on SH's motion for summary judgment?
Yes.
Thank you.
So is that clear with everybody?
Yes, thank you.
Ms. Diaz by the 3rd, Ms. Miller and Ms. Williams by the 7th. Is this hearing is scheduled for what, the afternoon of the 10th, Jess?
No, it's actually for 10 a.m.
During the procurement training?
This was scheduled all the way back in June, I think. Or me. Did you want to move it to the afternoon?
Well, yeah.
1 p.m.
All right.
Going off the record, BJ?
Just we'll move the hearing on the 10th from 10 to 1 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Hello.
And with the filings from both of, with all of you by the 7th, I should issue a I should be able to announce a decision before then.
Your Honor?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Kono.
This is Robert Kono. I'm sorry, I have medical issues on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays in the afternoon.
I think that's why we scheduled it at 10, that's why.
So it's every morning that we're... Let's put the hearing on, the trial on hold until this jurisdiction issue is resolved. Ms. Williams, do I understand that the your motion for summary judgment on the known or should have known is still under advisement?
That's correct.
And and we have this one.
Yes.
How many days was this hearing going to go? How many days was this going to take?
I think we scheduled for at least a week, but I didn't know about the parties.
Perhaps. That sounds about right, the week at the most.
Okay. Okay, why don't we do this? Mr. Kono has medical issues Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right?
Yes, sir.
In the afternoons. So, let's move the hearing on Monday the 10th to Tuesday the 11th at 9, and we'll go all day. On the 11th, half day on the 12th, all day on Thursday the 13th, and half day on Friday the 14th. Okay.
Okay.
What time do you have your medical appointment on in the afternoon, Mr. Kona?
I leave at 1:30.
All right, so then we'll start the morning sessions at 9 on so that we can get a good morning in. But I want to be able to address the known or should have known and jurisdictional issue. And this issue with the additional briefs, and I should be able to announce a decision either before the morning of the 11th or in the afternoon of the 10th. Okay. All right. Is that clear to everybody? We'll issue a written order from today's hearing so that everybody knows the dates and times. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Right.
Okay, so we're going off the record at 10:52 a.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you.